carnivore diets. I start out with Laozi's wonderful quote, "To know and not to do is not yet to know." This sounds like a koan, which is a Zen Buddhist paradox used for meditation, but it is instead practical advice. Laozi was a central figure in Chinese culture and the author of the Tao Te Ching, the foundational text of Taoism. Like anyone, I frequently DFL, and I've left the link if you need to remember what that is. Although I have understood most of this material for years, I have never eaten carnivore for more than 3 weeks at a time. But now my functional doctors have all advised me that this is the best single treatment for Parkinson's. I also have progressive hip, ankle, and shoulder arthritis and other niggling issues that this diet treats effectively. I eventually act, but sometimes it takes many exposures to a subject before I do. I spent over 50 hours listening to carnivore podcasts before I was motivated to do rather than just to know. This post is a summary introduction. The references at the end describe everything you need to know much better than I could. Modern nutrition dogma is 180 degrees wrong. Why am I not surprised? So many of my cherished beliefs have fallen into ashes in my hands. Starting in the early 20th century, the food industry and its captured regulators perpetrated frauds. The idea that plant oils lower heart disease is a lie, and the promotion of margarine as good for you is a monstrous swindle. My editor, KEC, Elizabeth, adds, "Remember the It's Not Nice to Fool Mother Nature commercial? What a psyop. They were selling us garbage to put in our bodies and pretending it was better than butter. I remember my grandmother only used butter, and I was embarrassed by how old-fashioned she was. Most of the heavily promoted seed oils contain linoleic acid and cause coronary blockage. Animal products, especially fats, are healthful, anti-inflammatory, and prevent heart attacks. Certain oils, particularly synthetic ones, are to blame for nearly every inflammatory disease, cancer, diabetes, heart conditions, and others." Mercola's interview of Tucker Goodrich, and I've left a link, and Grain Brain by David Perlmutter support this. These oils have been widely used since early in the 20th century when the Crisco company started a massive advertising campaign to convince the public that their cheaply manufactured grease was health food. From the current Crisco website, quote, "In 1911, Crisco, the first ever shortening made entirely of vegetable oil, was born. Clad in pristine white paper overwrap, Crisco was seen as a more, quote, pure and economic alternative to animal fat and butter. Since after our first print and radio ads debuted, products flew off the shelves. The first Crisco cookbook taught Americans all of the innovative ways Crisco could be used, from baking to frying, and so a cooking revolution was born." The, quote, "science promoting these inexpensive modified fats was financed by Big Food and ratified by the FDA. It is the same story as pharma and drugs. The corrupted, quote, captured FDA promotes the profitable lies. Employees go back and forth through the, quote, revolving door between the regulator and lucrative industry jobs." Mercola says the PUFA, polyunsaturated fatty acids, synthetic oils, and their plant-based relatives are the leading cause of inflammatory diseases. Linoleic acid is the one most frequently consumed, and American diets often contain 50 grams of it daily. To improve health, this must be cut as low as possible. Safflower, soy, sesame, and corn oils are high in PUFAs, including omega-6 fatty acids. These are traditionally thought to be, quote, essential fats that the body cannot manufacture on its own, but Mercola says that only a single study from the 1930s supports this. These ideas rest on a growing body of work. For example, studies on mice show that they are resistant to tumors when they consume no dietary PUFAs. These oils are incorporated into your body's fats and have progressively damaging effects. However, stopping consuming them can slowly correct this. Linoleic acid is abundant in safflower and corn oil and comprises over half of their composition by weight. It is present in medium quantities in soybean oils, sesame, and almonds. The following is the percentage in commonly used oils. First, here are the hazardous ones. Salicornia oil, 75%. Safflower oil, 72 to 78%. Evening primrose oil, 65 to 80%. Melon seed oil, 70%. Poppy seed oil, 70%. Grape seed oil, 69.6%. Prickly pear seed oil, 63%. Artichoke oil, 60%. Hemp oil, 53.3%. Wheat germ oil, 55%. Cottonseed oil, 54%. Corn oil, 51.9%. Walnut oil, 51%. Soybean oil, 50%. Sesame oil, 45%. Rice bran oil, 39%. Argan oil, 37%. Pistachio oil, 32%. Peach oil, 29%. Almond, 24%. The following oils are safer, and animal products have the lowest linoleic acid content of all. Canola oil, 17.8%, sunflower oil, 20.5%, chicken fat, 18 to 23%, peanut oil, 19.6%, egg yolk, 16%, linseed oil, which is flax, cold pressed, 14.2%, avocados, and here's a quote, as avocados grow and mature, their fatty acid composition changes, favoring an increase in monounsaturated fat from 30% to about 50% and a decrease in polyunsaturated linoleic acid, down from 60% to about 12% on average over the course of 4 months. Lard has 10% linoleic acid, palm oil 10%, olive oil 8.4%, coconut butter 3%, macadamia oil 2%, I love those macadamia nuts from Costco, butter 2%, coconut oil 2%, and clarified butter or ghee is very, very low. Vegan diets can occasionally be tolerated for many years, but they ultimately lead to poor health and even death as they deplete nutrients from the body. I wrote about vegans in the chapter on diets of hormone secrets, and I've left a link. What I discovered was that never in human history has there ever been a large successful group of vegans who eat only plants. And all groups who consider themselves vegetarians eat lots of animal protein. I later concluded that the global psychopaths were perpetrating the vegan themes in today's society to weaken us. Evidence of this is that the media attacks on meat consumption and the promotion of unhealthy vegan diets have stepped up over the past decade. 70% of all animal species are strict carnivores. The recent mythology that domesticated animals, including dogs, can be healthy eating plants is obscene. Finally, agriculture is not sustainable without animals and should not be done in isolation. Modern farming practices are horrifically destructive and have disastrous environmental impacts. Carnivore diets are simple. Beef is best, along with goat, sheep, deer, elk, and a few other ungulates, which are herbivores with multiple stomachs. These animals can rid their bodies of many modern toxins, such as seed oils and other components of feedlot fare. They cannot destroy injected vaccines, but whether these are toxic to humans after we eat them is unknown. Smaller fish species from the bottom of the food chain are minimally contaminated with mercury, and are healthy. Farm fish are absolutely not. If you eat primarily lean fish, you will have to supplement fat. Chickens do not have extra stomachs, so they cannot process the offal, seed oils, and other ingredients that commercial food operations feed them. Pasture-raised chickens are good for you, and the more yellow their eggs are, the more healthy they are to eat. To make animal fat half your diet, use fatty beef or generously supplement with butter, brie cheese, sour cream, cream cheese, or other animal fat sources. Dairy is fine too, but milk products have too much sugar. Strictly avoid sugar, alcohol, and other processed food. Many people stop caffeine. Now comes the big question. Why in the world would you put yourself through this? Diets that are primarily animal-based help, but strict carnivore has profound results on the following. It cures obesity and prevents Alzheimer's. Adult-onset diabetics lose weight, normalize their blood tests, and are often able to discard their medications. Joint inflammation. It can sometimes cure even rheumatoid arthritis and other autoimmune diseases. Jordan Peterson's daughter, Michaela, had RA and contemplated joint replacements, but recovered when she tried a beef-only ketogenic diet. If this were more widely known, the rheumatologists would starve. I have no sympathy because they are mostly dispensing expensive pharma products that damage their patients' health and never cure them. Parkinson's disease. Hair loss is decreased and reversed. This diet frequently cures inflammatory bowel disease, that's Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, and I have a podcast about that with a friend of mine who cured hers using carnivore diet. Cancer. Tumor cells thrive on sugar and hate ketones. This diet cures some cancers, but they activate again if people go back to a standard American diet. Glioblastoma, the most aggressive brain tumor, responds beautifully. Athleticism and lean body mass. While proper exercise is important, this diet may be a bigger influence. Human growth hormone and testosterone levels elevate and may double. Both are profoundly healthy effects that improve alertness, body composition, and sexuality for both men and women. Prostate issues such as urinating at night often vanish. Sleep vastly improves. Energy levels rise and some need less sleep. Most carnivores no longer form much tooth plaque, so they can ghost their dentists. If you like yours, you can still occasionally drop by to gloat. Hemorrhoids and bowel issues often disappear. People on this diet typically have soft, normal stools once or twice a week, as long as they eat enough animal fat. That can be half their calories. Proper water consumption and magnesium supplementation help too. There's a lot more about this. I particularly like the carnivore advice to give up supplements, for they upset my tummy. However, I am holding fast to vitamin D, magnesium, K2, and C. So you really need more info before you eat this meal. My friend Jerome has been a strict carnivore for nearly a year and has experienced many benefits. I interviewed him and I left the link. I asked him about references and he said, Anthony Chaffee is the best podcaster, but Ken Berry is more popular and Sean Baker is the OG. Before you jump into the fascinating YouTube video below, which is my first link, please scan my snarky comments about it. Lierre Keith is a brilliant person who nearly died from a vegan diet but survived by finally changing her mind. Vegans see the evidence before their eyes that they are unhealthy, yet play psychological games on themselves and each other to remain in the cult. Agriculture without animal involvement destroys the environment. Lierre describes how ruminants and others create a healthy nutrient cycle that can bring deserts back to life. When you remove animal fat from your diet, it causes brain damage, for the brain is 60% fat. Vegans have higher rates of depression, suicide, early mortality, and surprisingly, homicide. Children of vegan mothers have higher autism rates and lower IQs, according to Jane Buxton and her book, The Great Plant-Based Con, published in 2023. She outlines how science and the media are distorting the conclusive evidence that this diet is damaging and animal consumption healthy. In the second half of the interview, Ms. Keith describes her views on global warming, peak oil, and various other theories. Like anyone else, she is wrong about some of it. Please let me use her views to point you in the right direction. I debunk that warming nonsense, and I've left the links, two links, with interviews with the founder of Greenpeace, Patrick Moore. And there were a lot of graphs and interesting commentary in that couple of interviews. Alex Epstein has done it many times, and I've left a link to his podcast. The peak oil idea says that we will soon run out of oil. This has been put to rest many times. For example, in the Doomberg Substack and Alex Epstein's Substack that I referenced above. We have plenty of oil for hundreds of years at the current consumption rate, and properly deployed nuclear energy could easily replace oil use within a few decades. Despite its safety, we currently tax and regulate nuclear energy nearly out of existence. And then there's the video, they lied about veganism. So I left other links to Anthony Chaffee's and his, quote, plants are trying to kill you theme, and a news article about him, and a half an hour formal presentation. And at the end of that YouTube, look in the comments section for testimony that this diet has worked wonders for many people. Other carnivore advocates explain their system in four different links, and Greg Dennis's podcast archive has others. Jane Buxton, I left the link to her book on Amazon. Editing credits, Jim Arnold of Liars World Substack, Jerome V. of Heroes and Villains Substack, Elizabeth Cronin, J.D., and I left an example of her work. She frequently writes about the dark hole academia has fallen into. Only 1.3% of my subscribers are paid. While some say the Substack average is over 5%. My paid curve has been flat for months while the subscribers continue to increase linearly. I may be getting shadow banned by Stripe, the payment platform. Does anyone have ideas? See the graphs below. And the top graph shows that around November, my paid subscribers went flat after increasing linearly. And the second graph shows absolutely linear growth of my Substack readers total, up to about 16,000 now. Parting shot number one. My close friend Sally nearly died of a vegan diet and alcohol use. She is 71 and developed Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome, WKS, last year. The only case I had seen was a hobo who came into my emergency room in the 1980s. WKS is a neurological disorder caused by thiamine or B1 deficiency with confusion, trouble walking, and visual disturbances. This vitamin is absent in vegetables, and alcoholics often have terrible diets. Sally has had a highly functional and active life with an independent career. She has authored several well-received books and has been jogging for miles each day for decades. But she has been a strict vegan since she was in her 20s and has been drinking for nearly as long. Last summer, she started having trouble walking. She fell down over 30 times and broke her hand. She was hospitalized 4 times, she was blind for 3 days, and she had a memory blackout for several more days. She was so out of it that she tried to bite the hospital staff. WKS is serious. 20% die during their illness, and half of them die within 8 years. If the disease is recognized, the treatment is thiamine given intramuscularly or intravenously. For those who survive, short-term memory loss and other issues generally last a year or longer. Sally DFL to me, but then who does? Parting shot number two. Leosa's ideas and more. Here are his quotes. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And my commentary is, in the past few years, this has happened to all of us. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. And this has been stolen by many modern self-help gurus without attribution. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, and this one is closely related to Goethe's quote, "Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth that ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitively commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no man could have dreamed would have come his way. Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now." Back to Laoza. "New beginnings are often disguised as painful endings. If you tell me, I will listen. If you show me, I will see. If you let me experience, I will learn. Life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. Don't resist them. That only creates sorrow. Let reality be reality. Let things flow naturally forward in whatever way they like. In work, do what you enjoy." And this is related to Richard Feynman's quote, "Study hard what interests you the most in the most undisciplined, irreverent, and original manner possible. People aren't against you, they are for themselves. My commentary is, the people I love were born to help others. The most dangerous risk of all is spending your life not doing what you want on the bet that you can buy yourself the freedom to do it later." And here's a quote about denial, which is the subject of this post. It's by Richard K. Morgan. He's quoting his own character, the Quellcrest Falconer. "The human eye is a wonderful device. With a little effort, it can fail to see even the most glaring injustice."